it's kind of one of those things where the young guy in the family sees all the men and they're talking to each other a certain way, and you throw one in, and all of a sudden you realize you're too young to do that kind of behavior. I told him, I can't remember exactly how I said it, but he does. I introduced him at one at our conference, and it still wakes me up. Like, you should not have done it. You are too young to be joking like that with more serious preachers. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly how I feel. It is. I keep waiting for the day it's no longer intimidating to preach in front of some of the brethren that have preached here today, let alone alongside of you. But I tell you what, I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the kindness and the hospitality that this church has brought forward. You do the Lord a service in the kindness and the love and the work that you have done. And you are very much appreciated. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 38. In chapter 12, it chronicles, pun intended, the numbers of men and some of the names of those that came to David. David, while he was at Ziklag, the men that came to join him there, and then when Saul had died and he went to Hebron, the thousands that showed up to support him with their swords and their valor and their willingness to go to war. And that brings us to our verse here, verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Now I want to stop here for a second. The Lord anointed David long before this. And I, again, maybe one of you more knowledgeable brethren could correct me, but in my opinion, he was the king for a very long time. He just wasn't on the throne yet. But they all came and they're excited to do this. And they were great men. They were men of renown, men of battle. We see here this description of them. They could keep rank. They had a perfect heart. Verse 39, and there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. These men were ready. We have had a great conference of preaching, have we not? We've had some great eating, but the spiritual food just far surpasses anything. We have had preaching on how the Lord is coming. We've talked about the rapture. We've talked about the millennial reign. We've talked about eternity in heaven. We've talked about how Jesus isn't just the coming king. He's the king now. We've talked about all these things. By your permission, I would like to talk about the people that are waiting for the king. The king is coming. We've been told many times during these sermons that there's something we must be doing. We must be rejoicing. We ought to have a glad heart about it. We ought to be prepared for it. We ought to be getting ready for it. These men that were waiting their king had sat under a bad king. We see the foolishness of Saul time in and time again. We see his mistakes. We see his distractions. We see his failures. And in doing so, it took a toll on the people of God. I want you to imagine for a second, you are a soldier under Saul. And instead of chasing the Philistines or any of the other tribes and people that wanted Israel, instead of chasing them, what did they do? They chased David. Why would we chase our mightiest general around town instead of doing what we were supposed to be doing? And many of us, we look at the nations today and we say, oh, what foolish kings we have. Yeah. Don't we? I tell you what, I can't even pick on Joe Biden anymore. At this point, we're just railing on a dementia patient. It's hard. And we look over, we look at the people who are running this and the people who are running that, and it is very difficult to be happy. It is very difficult to feel secure when you see these people running things the way the devil would. But what of us? We are waiting for a king, much like they were waiting for a king. And all these thousands, I mean, I'm not great at math, but you do the math on these thousands. That's a lot of them. 3,000 of which out of Saul's house themselves came forward and said, we'll go with David. I want you to think about that for a second. Saul dies. And all these people, all these groups get together. Somebody had to sit there and say, well, the king's dead. Well, what do? At David fella. We look back earlier in this chapter. That's exactly what they said. They knew the will of God. They knew it was supposed to be David. What are we going to do? We're going to rally behind him. We're going to get ready. But this is where I get nervous. I want you to look at the description of them again. Verse 38, once more, all these men of war. Men of war. What could we say about our own following of God? Are we the good soldiers we are called to be? We read in Scripture how God gives us wisdom. God gives us strength. God gives us escape from sin and temptation. God gives us everything we need to be the child of God we should be. Am I a man of war? Am I one at war with my sin? At war with the culture around me? Am I the one at war with things going on, standing up for God's way, standing up for God's will? Am I fighting for Him? Or am I just sitting? Am I part of the problem? What else do they say? A perfect heart could keep rank. We've had some issues among Baptist churches with this keeping rank. We've had some issues with a perfect heart. You're sitting here in this room right now. You've had issues with a perfect heart. Well, how do you know that? Because you're a sinner just like me. You've had issues. I've had issues. We know what it's like to be a sinner in this world. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. See, you say called. I go, yeah. Lord called me. I don't know why, man. I ain't nothing, but He called me. Chosen. I'm so glad that before the foundation of the earth, the Lord chose me. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for that. And then it says faithful. Now it's my responsibility all of a sudden. It's exactly what it is. It's our responsibility to be faithful. Oh, but brother, you don't understand. I've got all of these issues and I've got all these things that hinder me back. I've been listening to this thing on a podcast and I've been listening to this thing on YouTube and it says that I've got this thing inside of me that just hampers me down and there's no way I can serve God the way I'm supposed to. I'm a little bit different. Oh my, who tells us that we're just a little bit different or it could be just a little bit different and it would give us a pass on stuff? That is the devil talking. Let me tell you this, the devil has sold more books than any other man. The devil has had more YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram views than anybody else. And what do God's people do? Nom, 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 nom. Oh, that's good. I'm different. I'm special. I'm wonderful. I don't have to be responsible. I don't have to be faithful. I've got a thing. I got a condition. Listen, if the Lord can change the lives of the people we see in Scripture, your little problems ain't got a chance. Yeah, right. You look at the maniac of Gadara.
Amen.
Wild and crazy, tearing things up, couldn't bind him down. Later there he is, all dressed up in his right mind. Now, I tell you what, I'm so sorry you feel a little blue sometimes. What am I going to do with it? Oh, Lord, but you do have to understand, sometimes I'll get up and I just don't feel like getting up. If the Lord can do that, He'll get you up. Now, listen, there's physical restrictions. I ain't picking on those. I'm talking about you getting up and you ain't got no other reason to stay in the bed other than the fact that it's gloomy outside, the rain's pattering on the outside, and you've watched too much TV last night. Get up. Let us be bold. Let us be faithful. the words describing David's men and the description of Christ here in this passage in Revelation are intimidating words. These are hard things to hear. All the same, though, the king needs strong soldiers. He demands faithful obedience from us. He wants those soldiers that can endure hardness. We look at some of the other words you should never glance over lists, because these lists of thousands and these lists of names contain other descriptive words. Valiant, mighty. There ain't no stopping you from being valiant or mighty in the service of the Lord. I don't care what you think. I don't care what the devil's telling you. There is nothing to stop you from being valiant and mighty. I have seen people couldn't get out of their sick bed in the hospital, still acted valiant and mighty. We're not talking about being able to climb things, get on top of the church roof and sweep out the gutters and things like that. I'm talking about people whose faith is so deeply rooted in Christ, nothing could stop them from serving. Right. Nothing. We wish to be these kind of people. So let us take a moment to examine what is said of them. The first thing we see here of these men of war is that they can keep rank. We're losing rank because, folks, we're losing focus. What is my purpose here on earth? What is my purpose? As a child of God, it is to do the Great Commission as a part of a local New Testament Baptist church. It is to preach the gospel. It is to take a stand. It is to serve the Lord and bring Him honor and glory. Everything else is secondary. And thankfully, there's not too often where you've got to choose one or the other. People always act like they got to choose one or the other. So often I can serve the Lord faithfully and get way more than I can dream of. I could serve the Lord faithfully and have fun, but a kind of fun I couldn't have with the world. Right. They're going to go out tonight. They're going to get drunk. They're going to puff on this. They're going to put this up their nose. They're going to put that in their vein. And they got to. They got to have fun that way. I tell you what, I've had fun this weekend. And I didn't need any of that stuff. I don't have to worry about ODing on good Bible preaching. Believe me, I think we've all tried. We listen to it, never OD on it. Never have to worry about calling an ambulance because I've sat for too long listening to preaching or gone to too many conferences. And I see folks and I smile and I enjoy myself and I love seeing people. I don't need what they got. Doing just fine. We let the fear of missing out control us and we lose focus. What we need to decide is that we serve no other king. My king is coming. Now you're going to have bosses, you're going to have governments, you're going to have politics, you're going to have these things. But I've got one king, and that is Jesus Christ, and He is coming. See, so often we say, hey, the Lord is coming, and we get rejoiceful, we get glad. But make sure you're dressed right for the Lord coming. Make sure you're acting right. How many of you, if the boss was coming by your workstation, would have sat there and put your tools down? So you could, the king, hold on, he's going to come by. Might as well just stop. No, you don't do that, do you? You pick up those tools, you get the work done, you clean up your workspace, you make sure it's right. We know the Lord's coming. We better be focused. We better be on task. We better be about His business. Jesus Himself as a child, don't you know? I've got to be about my Father's business. Well, when He comes back for us, what do you think He wants to see us doing? His business. His service. And not in our way, but in His. We ought to serve no other kings. You ought not serve the king of your pleasure. The king that is a man or a woman or an influencer. We don't serve those. We don't follow after those. I have a king. His name is Jesus Christ. And He'll be here at any time. We don't serve the stone idols, the fake idols either, of money, entertainment, or lust. We don't serve at those altars. Those are not our kings. They are secondary. And I would even say that, I don't want to say that lust is secondary to anything. It ought not be in your life. We think, well, I gotta have a job, gotta have a job. You know, you should have a job. You ought to have a job, right? This guaranteed income stuff they're talking about over there on the Democrat side makes me nervous. We ought to have a job. But you know what comes first? Your king.
Right.
King comes first.
Amen.
Right? Oh, well, you know, I've got this idea. I'd like to go do this and travel the world and spend the next 5 years just going from place to place to place. That's not what the king would want you to do. I mean, even Nehemiah got the king's permission before he stepped out anywhere. You know what I'm talking about? We need to serve the king first. Serve him first. In order for us to serve him, we've got to clear up an issue many people have. His word needs to be our delight. The brother hit on those reformers. I tell you what, I love picking on reformers. I do. My thinking is this. You know, the Baptist confessions of faith of this number or that number, right? Which one do you go by? Which one? I'm going to be honest with you. I found the very first Baptist confessions of faith. And I haven't said anything about to Home Missionary Baptist Church about it, but it's been how I've been deciding doctrine since they called me. It's the very first one. The thing is, what made it so sneaky to find is it's not labeled the first Baptist Confessions of Faith. As a matter of fact, it's a pretty obvious and easy to find book. Yeah, right. I already got it. Yeah. Well, we go by Reformers Doctrine, not because it's Reformers Doctrine, but because it's scriptural. Then call it Scripture!
Yeah.
Why do we got to call it something else? Why do you got to put a hat on it and make a dance? Call it what it is. I know why you can't call it what it is, because then I can't be famous one day and you quote me. That sounds harsh, but let's take a look at it. How many times have you seen somebody quote a reformer who's quoting Scripture? Why not quote the Scripture?
Right.
We got to love the Word.
Right.
What happens if we don't love the Word? What happens if we don't follow the Word? I mean, the king's given us a command. What happens if you don't follow it? The king's going to get upset about it. You're going to be punished for it, chastened for it. We follow the commands of the Lord.
Amen.
They are not grievous to us, as Scripture says. They're not grievous. They're easy things. Don't lie. You shouldn't want to. Don't steal. You shouldn't want to. And that should be common sense, but we talked about that. Ain't no such thing as common sense. Just sinners guessing. Sinners guessing. We need the Word to know right from wrong. We need to love it. Psalm 119, verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate. Where? In thy statutes. Well, what I did is I called up the local therapist and he said, I feel this way because of the judgment from my mom. So now when people correct me at work, I feel bad. Grow up and meditate on the Lord's statutes. It's free. Also, it works.
Amen.
It works. I'll talk to some people, hey, yeah, listen. You know, I've got these issues with my marriage. I've got these issues with my life, issues with my emotions. And I've been going to therapy. Oh, okay, well, how long have you been going? It's been the last 10 years. You getting any closer? Well, yeah, little by little. Now, let me introduce you to this thing the Bible calls repentance. Right? Sometimes there's bad stuff going on in your life because you're doing bad stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Why do I have all these weird plants growing in my backyard? Did you plant them? Well, yeah, but I didn't know they do this. Dig them out! If you love the Word, let the Word speak! If you love the Word, follow it! Obey it! We sit there, oh, we love the Bible, we love the King James Bible. Are you reading it? I dare say the vast majority of folks who claim to be Christian have issues reading the Bible. And when I say have issues, I don't mean it's an external force upon them. I'm saying it's a failure. It's a failure. You think about every time you skipped it. Ain't nothing made you skip it. I ran out of time. Tell that to your cell phone. Let me see your cell phone. I'll tell you where your time went. Where's your television set? Well, I guess we can't do that anymore. Used to be you could say, well, I see your TV's still warm. That's where all your time went. But now you can't do that no more. His word is our delight, it'll be a delight to hear it.
Yeah, right.
People get mad at preachers for saying things that are written right in front of their laps. Oh, I don't like it when he said that. Why has he got to preach like that? Why has he got to say that? Because the word of God says it.
Yeah, right.
And if it don't say it, he shouldn't say it.
Amen.
Right? But it says it. It's right there. Why are you going to get upset? It's not the messenger's fault. The king said it. And for one who knows the king is coming, you ought to be awfully concerned about what he said to do. It ought to be our delight to do his will and his word. It ought to be our delight to obey it. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And what do? They follow me. I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine you're a child again. For some of you, it's not going to be so hard. Others, you're going to have to try a little bit for me. You're a child again. You're in the store. Where's your favorite place to go in the store? Oh, you're in that toy aisle, aren't you? And you're looking at all the things you know mom and dad are going to say no to. Can't have this, can't have that, not allowed to have that, right? Won't buy me the $90 super soaker, right? All of a sudden, a man comes out of nowhere and says, hey, listen, why don't you pick one of those out, and I'll buy it for you, and we can go out to my car and test it. Anybody here, you get real nervous about that scenario? You know exactly what that scenario is, don't you? Plays out in our country all the time. Yet how many of us sit there surrounded by things we ought not to do, looking at things we know we can't have, and the devil goes, I'll let you have it. And we go, okay. We're literally getting in the van for candy. That's what we are. You really boil it down with, that's what it is. We ought to delight in what the Word of God says. Temperance, faith, obedience, saying no to yourself, crucifying the flesh. That ought to be what we're doing. The King is coming. We got work to do right here on ourselves, and we better hope to get it done before He gets here. We ought to be able to keep rank. We ought to be able to keep it together. We ought to be able to keep rank in our business and our affairs and the things that we're doing. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter. They're not going to get too mad if I don't do this completely right. I ain't doing it for them. I've had some bad bosses. You ever have some bad bosses? I had some bad bosses. I still had to do everything right. Why? Because it was for the Lord. I've been disrespected by people. I still had to do right by them. Why? Not for them, but for the Lord. Everything I do, everywhere I stand, everything I do needs to be right for the Lord. I need to be able to keep rank. And you think about the military precision in some of these things. They just, the way they march, every foot falling together. Right? How do they know? Because that's where the foot's supposed to be, when the foot's supposed to be there. And if I'm doing it and you're doing it, here we are keeping that rank. But we get lazy and we start stepping off and doing different things. And maybe I'll walk over here for a little bit. Maybe I'll slow down. I got a good excuse for it. And if they don't like it, they can just deal with it. It ain't them dealing with it. It's the Lord. And He's going to make you deal with it. We need to be able to keep rank in our business. We need to be able to keep rank in our homes. Fulfill your responsibilities. Fulfill your duties. I'm tired of the outright warfare that's on the home. And I tell you what, I'm sad to see how well the other side has done. Sad. When you sit there, let's pick on women for a little bit. When you sit there and you demean the raising of a child, the raising of the home and the caring for the business of them, you demean that. Well, that's not very forward thinking. That's not very progressive. That's not a very good use of your time. When you degrade that the way they do today, it's clownery. It's silly. There's nothing more important than a woman's role in the home for her. Now, men, listen up. You ought to be the man in the house. Enough of this. Well, happy wife, happy life. You know that don't work. It don't work. How about this one? A man's home is his castle. That don't work either. Who's the head of your home? It better be Christ.
Right.
Listen, Mary,
I haven't married as long as many of you, but marriage is hard. Christ better be the head of that thing.
Christ ain't the head of that thing. You're in trouble. And every time you decide to take the lead in that thing, or somebody steps off in that thing, guess what? You're welcoming problems. We need to fulfill our role. We need to be who we ought to be in our homes, because the Lord told us to do so. We need to keep rank in the church as well.
I love seeing a young generation coming up and serving. I love seeing that. Because for a while, you know, great men in this room. I got tired of being the youngest of them. Now, that's not a joke. That's a fear.
Right?
That's a fear. I ain't teasing. I was concerned. You look around, you see these young men surrendering to preach. You see people coming forward, and it's not the same person every time playing the piano. And you see vacuums being run. And you see things being cleaned up. And dishes being prepared. People doing what they ought to do in the church. That makes me glad. Because woe unto the church that is found dormant and not moving when the king comes back. Well, nobody does this anymore. Well, nobody does that anymore. Nobody takes care of this. How come nobody does that? Why does nobody? Poor nobody gets picked on all the time, don't he? Oh, then there's somebody who ain't ever in church. Somebody oughta. Well, somebody never shows up. Isn't that weird? Oh, but to see a church thriving and working. Well, that's what my mom and dad did. Well, that's what they used to do, but I'm young. I'm independent. You need to keep rank with those that have come before you. One of the greatest pleasures of my life has been to sit alongside and to sit in the audience of great men doing great ministry. We ought to keep rank. There's this new, it's not new, I got to be careful with that. We just dress it up different and call it new. Well, that's the way that generation did it. We're smarter. We're going to fix all the mistakes they made. I read this in a book one time. I should have wrote the title of it down. It says, the first thing you need to learn is you don't know nothing. Shut up and listen. Well, yeah, but that's your grandpa's church. We're not your grandpa's church. Well, then you ain't my church. I ain't going there. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the old-fashioned way. Ain't nothing wrong with it. As I read recently, you can't make things that are eternal relevant. You can't. Why? To fit all of an eternal truth into a small window of time. That's nonsense. In our short-sighted understanding of religion, we think it needs to fit our thoughts today. That really is prideful, isn't it? It really is prideful. We need to submit to the Word of God. We need to keep rank. We see also in this that they were men with a perfect heart. Now you pause, and I think we understand what the word perfect there means. They're sinners. We're not talking about a heart with no sin. We're talking about a complete heart. Their motives were right. Their love was right. Their attitude was right. Right for what? Right to the Lord. Remember, if we're talking about right, we're talking about the Lord's point of view. Man can't be right on his own. So they had this perfect heart. And that's a very intimidating thing, because I don't think I've ever felt like I had a perfect heart. But it is something we are commanded to have. Listen, you cannot have a perfect heart if you do not have a saved heart. If you're here today and you've never repented of your sins, never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't you walk out that door. Not without it. We need to stop. We need to confess our sins. Believe Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for our sins, because as Brother Titus said, the King is coming. You don't want to be on the other side of that. I look at that 7-year tribulation and I know where I'd rather be. I know where I'd like to be. I think about that millennial reign. I know where I want to be. I know where I want to be. You don't want to be on the other side. And I used to think this too. And a lot of lost people, they think this. Well, isn't the whole book of Revelation just very mean? Isn't that very awful? When I was young, I kind of go, yeah, that's tough. And then I grew up and I saw the world. Did you know you could gamble on the Special Olympics? Oh yeah, I'm not making a joke. I'm mad about that. You look at the stuff we do. Human trafficking. The drugs. How it gets into the system. How all this happens. We look at the awfulness of this world. And I sit there and say, all right, Lord, come on. I understand it now. And he gets up and he preaches, hey, they're going to go to war against God. Revelation makes sense to me. We've always been asking for it. And we just keep asking for it louder and louder and louder. I heard a woman say this. She goes, I understand that abortion is murder, but I don't care. You ever hear one of them say that? That's bold, isn't it? But that tells me everything I need to know about this generation. I'd rather a perfect heart. I'd rather the Lord have saved me than to have those kind of thoughts, than to be on that side of the war. You need salvation. And I'll tell you this, you need sanctification too. There's music you ought not be listening to, movies you ought not be watching, YouTube that you ought not be paying attention to. There's stuff you shouldn't be putting in your eyes. There's ways you shouldn't be dressing. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's ways you shouldn't be dressing.
Amen.
I've preached this from my pulpit. You can beat me up, so you can delay. You know why they want you to dress the way they want you to dress? Make merchandise out of you. It makes me feel good. Why does it make you feel good? Because everybody else is doing it. Why is everyone else doing it? Because dirty old men want to see people dress that way. They're making merchandise out of you. And I like this thought too. Well, I'm too ugly. Believe me, I understand you. No one's sitting there putting me on a poster. I got you. But do I get a pass from being made merchandise of just because nobody wants to buy it? Nope. I need to be separate. I need to be different. I don't know about you, but I like traveling like this, and I show up in a place. Are you guys Christians? Man, that rings my bell.
Amen.
And also it starts a conversation. Where you guys going to, oh, there's a conference. It's up on over here. If you get an opportunity, come on by. What? You guys go to church? Oh, yeah, yeah. I pastor the church over there off of Francis and Saginaw. Why don't you come on by every now and then? We'd love to have you. But, man, if I've got my short shorts on, and man, you got your tight shirt on, shows your muscles, you ain't saying nothing about your merchandise.
Right.
Your merchandise. Well, nobody likes to see men that way. You don't understand how lustful and nasty this world is. We think that just because our name ain't Lot, we ain't in Sodom. We are.
Amen.
We are. We ought to be sanctified in what we watch, sanctified in what we listen to, sanctified in the way we dress. We ought to be sanctified in our actions too. Well, a lot of other newer Christians, they don't do that stuff anymore. They don't go to churches often. They don't do this. They don't do that. I'm different, I guess. This is what the Lord tells me to do. That's what I'm going to do. Church doors are open. That's where I am.
Right.
Stuff needs to be done, that's where I go.
Right.
I tell you what, I'll tease on my church every now and then. You know, I'm the youngest man in our church. You believe that? Youngest church member in our church. They won't let me do nothing. We have people in their young men, look at me. I'm being serious. I've got men in their 70s and 80s doing work in the church. You have, forgive me for being tough, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. There was one guy who pulled a walker out, and I'm not joking. Brought a walker out. He worked for a little bit, sat in a walker. I don't know how much time he spent in that walker, but he had a massive knee issue. And he sat there just to fellowship with us. Now you're gonna have to put your basketball, baseball, whatever games on hold. The king is coming. And if his house is a mess, you don't want to be that guy. Well, now, hold on. When we stand before the Lord in the judgment, he's not going to bring up my sin. Yeah, but I kind of think I'm going to have it on my mind when I'm looking at him. When all the awards sons or all the things I put before are all burned away and I ain't got much to show them. I'm going to know why. He knows why. And we're going to be sitting there in that moment. There's a reason why he says he's going to wipe all the tears from our eyes. You want to know why? Because there's going to be tears in our eyes.
Yeah.
What kind of tears? That depends on what we're doing right now, I think. It really depends.
It's going to be a complicated moment. We need to make it as uncomplicated as possible with our actions today. A perfect heart is a repentant heart. It is a heart that's not just sorry, but a heart that is at war. What kind of men came? Whiny men? Skinny jean wearing men? Little dainty men coming forward? Excuse me, we would just really like our voices to be heard. And what we would really like is for King David to reign supreme, please. And if that doesn't happen, we're going to be just very traumatized. If you don't tell me that I'm right, it's going to be a genocide and all the people like me. They showed up with some sharp swords. They showed up with some armor. They showed up with some military prowess. David is king. When you walk through your life, Jesus Christ is king. It was a long walk from wherever they were all the way over to Hebron. It's a long, who knows how long, but it's probably been a long walk for you so far from here to the day the Lord comes to get you. Either through death or the rapture, it's probably been a long walk for you, right? It's a long walk, but you better be a soldier every step of that walk. When do you take the armor off? I mean, we got Philistines out there. We've got Canaanites, Perizzites, Jebusites. We got them all out there, man. You keep that sword sharp. But yeah, we let our guard down. That breastplate of righteousness, that's heavy. The sword of the word, I got to carry that thing around everywhere. What am I, paranoid? Right? You get that every now and then. You carry something. People think, oh, you must be paranoid. I like that story about a guy who was so terrified of birds. He bought a gun just because of his fear of birds. His wife says, I think you're getting carried away. He pulled the gun out, fired two shots into the ceiling. Not without a fight, I'm not. Carry around the word of God? That's for my pastor. That's for somebody else. That's for the leaders in our church. That's for old people. I don't need to know the word of God. You need to know the word of God. You need to know it better than you know anything else. You need to know those pages. You need to know the stories. You need to know that they're not allegorical. They are reality. These were not fictional men with fictional mightiness. They were real men who honed themselves for battle, like we all must do. We see among these things that the word valiant was thrown around earlier in the book of Chronicles. And early in chapter 13, what does it mean to be valiant? Well, I looked the word up. And among the, is it synonyms? Among the thesaurus words, are words like strong. Am I a strong Christian? There's a choice in there. Sometimes your body don't give you a choice in being strong. You always have the option for spiritual strength. I broke this. This is herniated. I got arthritis there. Your body doesn't always give you a chance. There ain't nothing that comes for your spirit outside of sin. You can always make it stronger. You can always be strong in the Lord. We can always be valiant in that way. We have no excuse. What else does it say? Mighty. Kills me when I hear, remember brother so-and-so. I tell you what, they don't make men like brother so-and-so anymore. They don't make ladies like sister so-and-so anymore. Who's they? Who's they? Because the only one I know who makes people, who foreordains people, and then creates them for his purpose, is God. Now let's revisit that conversation. Did he lose the recipe? Did he get bored with the project? That's not the God I know.
That's right.
We do not have inferior material. We have inferior desire.
Yeah, right.
We have inferior discipline. Yeah. The king is coming. It's time for us to get after it. It is time for us to clean house.
It is time for us to build ourselves into being mighty, to those people that can give the gospel at a drop of a hat with such love and such conviction that it can be heard by even the lost person. I don't know what he's saying, but I know they believe it. I know it's true. I'm not talking about dramatics. I'm not talking about putting on the show. You speak and they believe it. Because I've heard people speak Christian words and they sounded foreign to me. You ever hear that? Typically it's from somebody from another denomination. You know, say, well, these franchise churches. Isn't God wonderful? Listen, I go and I hear the word of God preached and taught. I sit there and I sing praises to the Lord. You sit in a smoke-filled room with music pumping into your emotions. You've got coffee in the lobby to get you excited. You're sitting there for 45 minutes of hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And then you get 15 minutes from a guy. I'm not entirely sure you know how good God is. He says, do this, you're doing that. I don't know if you know how good God is. Because once you get tapped in, once you get obedient, once you get right with him, then you know how good God is. I ain't saying they can't be saved. I ain't saying they ain't saved. I'm saying that a heart that is just disjointed from God is not going to know the true potential of how good he is. He is good. But if we are not near the King, we won't know it. We'll be too far removed, too distracted. You know what else we need? Part of being valiant is being loyal. Loyal. Go to same book, verse 18. 1 Chronicles 12:18. While you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of 17. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. And verse 18, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David. That's what he said to his king. Mm-hmm. We're yours. I want you to consider the power of that phrase. We are yours. Today and every day, we open our eyes. Lord, I'm yours.
Amen.
You made me. You put me here. You sent your son to die on the cross long before I got here. You saved my soul. You bought me with the blood of your son. I'm yours. And if I'm yours, my actions are yours. Whoa, no. I got to give up my actions. Listen, God lets you have a lot of stuff. Didn't you get to pick what you had for breakfast this morning? Didn't you? Hey, raise your hand if you got to pick the car you drive. You pick the car you drive? Those of you who got to work, don't you work at a job you like doing? Right? And then you go and you leave that job and you go to church, right? You ain't got to sell alcohol. You ain't got to sell drugs. You ain't got to do anything that transgresses his law. You can have great, wonderful things. Let's not cry about, well, my choices. We know what you're saying. I want the option to sin when I get one. Right? I want a cheat day. I want to be able to split off for a little bit. If something comes around and there ain't no one looking, I want to try a piece of... Don't you dare. Because your actions belong to him.
Right.
Your body belongs to him. Your heart, your mind, your future, your everything belongs to him. But here's the wonderful, unfair part of the deal. Here's what's so unfair about the deal. Is he's going to pour out blessings into your life. He's going to show you how to do things. He's going to give you guidance and wisdom. You don't deserve those things. He made you, he bought you, right? Yeah. He made you, he bought you. He cares for you. He pours out all his blessings on you. He gives you preachers and teachers to instruct you and guide you. You've got a copy of the book. There's countries where you can't get a copy of the book, but you got one. Anybody here have more than one? You dog. You greedy, greedy dog. in countries where you could go to jail for 7 to 8 years for going to church, you blazingly walk around with the Word of God that tells you everything you need to know about life. That's unfair, isn't it? I'm His. And that's the way it should be.
Amen. That's right.
The King is coming. And if David had these men, if David, when he came into the throne, he had these men just waiting, what manner of men and women should God have waiting? What manner of men or women should Christ have waiting for Him upon His coming?
Amen.
We should be ready.
Right.
I love going through Revelation the way Brother Titus did, looking at us, white raiment, white horses. We ain't there yet, are we? And until we get there, until the Lord comes back in the rapture and calls us away, we need to be men of war. We need to be able to keep rank. We need to be able to have, we need to have a perfect heart.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand. Our stuff is all moved around up here.